If you'll turn with me in the Bible to James chapter 3. We're in the second part of James chapter 3, just a few verses towards the end of that chapter, chapter 3 and verse 13. James is a book right at the end of the Bible, towards the last pages. If you backtrack from Revelation, you go through John's letters, and then you go through Peter's letters, and then you get to the book of James. It's an easy way of getting to it, or look it up in the index. If you're following along on an electronic device, then just look for James and look for verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Well, may God bless his word to our hearts this morning as we seek to understand it. You'll have heard this week on Wednesday there of the death of a great man of God. Perhaps you heard about it on the news. Well, here's what he had to say about his impending death some years ago. Someday you'll read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. How about that? Isn't that a good way of thinking about it? And what a great man of God. God he's used in many, many instances. Even here in our own city of Aberdeen, Billy Graham came. And I think even some of you will be able to look to either a pathway from that man speaking to someone else or speaking directly to you of what it meant to know God and to know his love in your lives. He's a man of great wisdom, a man of great, a man who really shows us, demonstrates to us some of the things that James is speaking about to us today, because James is wanting to communicate to us about true wisdom. He wants us to understand what wisdom is really about and how it is that you go about getting it and what are the evidences that you have it and what are its results. In just these very few verses, in these five verses, he conveys something of what wisdom is all about and what it should be to us to have it. And he begins with a comparison. I've thought about bringing in here a number of quotations through this sermon from Billy Graham, because I think he as a man of wisdom, filled with the knowledge of God, he conveys some truths to us. So you'll see again a few times through this sermon some quotes from him. James wants us to understand the difference between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. He contrasts here a wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic with a wisdom that comes from above, a wisdom that is from God. So first of all, let's just see if we can understand a little bit about earthly wisdom, this unspiritual kind of wisdom. Well, we really don't have to look very far to begin to understand what people mean when they talk about wisdom in just a general sense, because people generally speak about wisdom as knowing stuff. Like it's about what you can take in, how intellectually smart you are, how much information you've been able to absorb and to process and to speak out at the right time. So if somebody uses great words in a well-structured way, can make great arguments, in the eyes of the world around about them, they're looked upon as a wise person. If they have great knowledge and they've used that knowledge to climb the tree of life and to succeed in their chosen field, then we look at them and we think they are, in earthly terms, a wise person. And so the focus of earthly wisdom is what you know. And it's very personally focused. It's focused on the self. It's a focus on what you know, as opposed to what anyone else knows. And so it is, by consequence, and James points this out to us in verse 14, it is by consequence something that has ambition. It has a selfishness, an ambition that's rooted deep in it. It seeks for its own end. We want stuff. We want to know things so that we can get ahead in the game of life. We want to know more so that we can succeed. And so, says James, this earthly wisdom is always marked by a kind of ambition that's focused on the self. But it's also focused by a bitter jealousy, says James. It's that sense of saying, "What? Why do they have what I want? Why don't I have that thing? And can't I get ahead like they have?" So by consequence, it is boastful. It is something that actually tends to big up yourself. So instead of admitting your own failures, instead of admitting your own inadequacies and your own weaknesses, you try your best to hide them. You don't go and advertise what you don't know. Instead, what you do is you allow people to think you know more than you do. Maybe you're not like that. I think I can be a bit like that. And so it's boastful. But the other thing, says James, that this kind of wisdom does is it is false to the truth. Ooh, that hurts a bit, doesn't it? Because what he's saying here is our tendency is to be a bit slippery and slidey with truth when it comes to how we present ourselves to others. And so we don't present a clear image of who we are, but we present the version of us that we want people to know. And so we say, we try our best to keep up this sense of a veneer, this outside appearance that we hope people will buy, that they will believe, that they will think that perhaps that is who we are. And so life becomes actually quite hard work because we've got to try and defend our own position and then we've got to try and keep up this image that maybe isn't necessarily all that true. And so we work through life and life becomes a bind and it becomes difficult. But this is earthly wisdom. This is the way of the world and thus it has ever been. We don't have to say it's just to our day, but it's to every day, to all people of all times. This is the way that it has been. This is how earthly wisdom looks. Here's a quote from the recently address-changed Billy Graham. "You will never understand who you are until you understand who God is. You will never understand who you are until you understand who God is." And the Bible wants us to begin with understanding that we will never have true wisdom. We will never possess that knowledge that we really need to know until we start at this point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. If there's a verse that's worth remembering today, it's that verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The reverence of God, the respect of God. It's hard to translate that word fear It has such negative overtones in our language. It's not entirely wanting to direct us towards those negative sort of understanding that we have of it. It wants us to understand this is both that sense of, oh, I've got to be careful, but also that sense of, wow, a tingle that says, wow, this is something greater than me. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom. What this is telling us is that it's not what you know. Heavenly wisdom is not about what you know. It's about who you know. It's about a relationship with God. It's about a relationship with Him. A relationship that puts Him first and foremost in our lives, in the way that we look at the world around and about us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19, St. Paul writes these words, "For the wisdom of this world is folly with God." The wisdom of this world is folly with God. When God sees the foolishness, when God sees the wisdom of this world, He says, that's just foolishness. When He looks at those things where those people are trying to accumulate knowledge and trying to get ahead in life, that are boastful and that are ambitious, and people just like me, people just like you maybe, and He looks at us and He says, if we pursue those things and we think those things are wise, then we are pursuing something that at the end of the day is just foolishness. Because true wisdom is to be found in God, in relationship with God. And it begins with a life that is ordered around God in every way. It's not actually a life based on knowledge, but it's a life based on action. It's what we do that matters, not what we know. It's how we process that knowledge of God, that relationship with God into our lives. So it's a way of life that is taught by God, given by Him, and it infiltrates into every single part of our lives. Every single thing that we do should be influenced by our knowledge of God. As we wake, as we eat, as we go about our work, as we talk to others, as we drive home from work, as we spend our free time, as we sleep, all our lives are directed by the fact that actually our lives are lived not in relation to ourselves, but in relation to God's self, who God is. This, says James, is the difference between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom, the wisdom that is from above. And you have to look elsewhere in James to see just how it is personified, how it is given to us, how it is that we can come to see this wisdom in clarity. But the wisdom of God is presented to us none other than in the Lord Jesus Christ. James could see that so clearly. God didn't give us, first and foremost, a bunch of knowledge, but God presented His Son, Jesus, to show us who He is and what He's like and how He wants to relate to us. And so by knowing Jesus, we can know God. By knowing God, we can have knowledge. By having knowledge, we can live life as we're supposed to live life, the way that our Creator intended it to be lived. God wants us to find true wisdom in Him. And so He reveals His true wisdom to us in the person of Jesus. He comes to us in the person of Christ and He says, "Here is my wisdom." And it's a very attractive thing, the wisdom of God. When we look at Jesus, we're attracted to Him. We see something in Him that we want to know in our own lives. The wisdom of God is a great thing that we would love to have in ourselves. And that wisdom of God is gained as we follow Him, as we walk after Him, as we tread the path where He trod. That's what Jesus came to ask people to do. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll change your life. And so that wisdom of God is gained by following foot upon foot in his footsteps. And it's a change of life. It's a complete change to the way that we're living, reorientating the whole of our lives around who we are in God's sight, around who God is. And so God steps into our world through Jesus and begins this process, a lifelong learning process of reordering, reorganizing our entire lives around Jesus, around who Jesus is. Our life is reordered in him, and it's reordered by him. It's reorganized in such a way that we can understand the wisdom of God through him. And this wisdom of life is demonstrated by his life and by his conduct. And James wants us to understand what this wisdom looks like. And so keeping in mind the picture of Jesus, keeping in mind who Jesus was and all that he came to be to every one of us, just look at what James speaks about. He presents to us in verse 17 seven qualities of wisdom. Seven very clear qualities of wisdom. The first one, he says, is this. The wisdom from above is first pure. Pure. This wisdom is uncontaminated. This wisdom is actually very, very reflective of the person of God. When we think of God, we understand God as being pure, as being uncontaminated by any evil, by any darkness at all. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, the scriptures tell us. God is holy. And that means that there is nothing that detracts from who he is. His character and his person has an integrity that flows completely from one end to the other in ways that we can't imagine or understand because we don't have that kind of purity. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And then he gives us a view in a second set of characteristics. He says, this wisdom is then peaceable, gentle, and open to reason. And a set of three characteristics of wisdom here that are significant and important to us. This, first of all, wisdom from God. God's wisdom brings with it a sense of peace. It brings a sense of shalom. You understand that word? That's the word in Hebrew for peace, but it means a sense of peacefulness in your life. You kind of have an aura of peace around and about you. And I think we sense that, don't we, with some people. We know that as they step into our lives, they bring with us the peace of God. They bring to us that peace. They help us to understand something of God's peace. Perhaps Billy Graham was one of those kind of people that brought a sense of how God was reaching into people's lives to settle their conflicts and bring them to Jesus, to help them understand how much God loved them. So the wisdom from above is peaceable, but it's also gentle, it's fair, it's considerate. The wise person doesn't get angry, doesn't get defensive, even under provocation. The wise person is a gentle person. The wise person is prepared to listen. And that's reinforced by the next one, which says that the wisdom from above is open to reason. That is, it is a trusting sort of wisdom. It doesn't indicate that the person involved doesn't have any convictions or is swaying one way and another way, but it indicates that this wisdom always is marked by a sense of being open to hear from others, by being able to be patient and to wait and to understand and to always come at it from a position of humility, to say, we don't know everything that there is to know, that there is wisdom in listening to others and hearing what it is that they have to say. And so this person, the wisdom from above, is a wisdom that's submissive to the wisdom of others when it is reflective of who God is. And then he gives another category that is really, really important in this list. He says, the wisdom that's from above is full of mercy and good fruits. Full of mercy. Think for a moment of what mercy looks like, what mercy is all about. But mercy is about being a generous person. Because when you are merciful, you're giving someone the thing that they don't deserve. You're giving them more than they have credit for in your account. You're reaching out to them, and you perhaps have good reason to treat them another way, but actually you choose to be generous instead. You choose to extend a hand of friendship. You choose to extend a hand of forgiveness. You choose, instead of pushing them down further, you choose to lift them up and to draw them towards you. You choose relationship over rejection. You choose to be like God, because God is merciful to us. God doesn't come to us condemning us for who we are, but God comes to us in the person of Jesus wanting to forgive us, wanting us to know his love, wanting us to come to him and know him in all his fullness. God is full of mercy. And because he is full of mercy, he is also full of God, of good fruits. Fruitfulness is an important quality of wisdom from above. Wisdom from above is not about head knowledge, but about heart action. It's about the thoughts that come into our hearts, driving actions into our lives, of enabling us to be the hands and feet of our Lord and Savior, to be the presence of God in a broken and hurting world. And so we go about seeking to show not only his mercy, but his fruit. We demonstrate to people around and about that God is merciful to us and has given us many things. And because he's given those things to us, we're able to give them to others. I wonder if you can think this week about how it is that God is enabling you to bring good fruits in the place where he has placed you, your workplace, your home, your neighborhood, your associations. How can God use you to extend his hand of mercy, extend his good fruits into that place? Because he wants to. That's the wisdom that's from above, the wisdom that is contained in the wisdom of God, who is Christ. Come to us. Two other qualities then to make up our list of seven. James says, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. What he means there is it's a wisdom that's undivided in mind. It doesn't swither. It doesn't sway one way and another. It is focused. It's undoubting. But it's also untainted by any form of hypocrisy. It does away with this play acting that the wisdom of this world would have us believe. This kind of need to present ourselves as a front to the world around about us. No, we can be who we are. We can give up the act. We don't have to be someone else. We can be sincere, not pretenders. Not putting on something to influence others, but we can be who we are in God. That is the wisdom that is from above. That is the wisdom that comes from God. How do we get that kind of wisdom? Well, first of all, we get it by following Jesus. We get it by stepping into his life and allowing his life to become our life, by allowing him to change and transform our lives. But I love this quote from Billy Graham as well. I thought this was very relevant for where we are today. He says this, Bible verses are high-powered doses of truth that mainline God's wisdom into our reasoning. How do you get wisdom? You get it by following Jesus. How can you be sure that you're learning more as you follow Jesus? Well, you can read his word. You can understand more of him. It was interesting in reading some of the reflections of Billy Graham's life this week as I was reading some of the things that were written about him. One of the things that Billy Graham said later on in his life is he says, I wish I had spent more time reading the scriptures. I wish I had spent more time studying God's word. I thought, wow, this is a man who spent his entire life sharing the scriptures with others, of reading and understanding. But he said, you know what? I realized at the end of life that there's more to understand, more that I could have taken in, more that I could have allowed to shape my life. Let's be those kind of people that open up God's word this week. You know, if you need help in understanding where to start and what to read, then there are some really helpful apps. The YouVersion Bible app is a great application on iPhones and iPads and all other devices. If you want to look and find a free guide to reading your Bible day by day, just look there. And you'll find something. But there are also Bible notes and all sorts of things that are available in other places if you want to start that journey of learning more about God, more about what he is in your life. And if you don't have either of those places to start, well, a great place to start is just start by reading one of the Psalms every day. And God's wisdom will flood into your life. You will understand more of God day by day as you read his word, as you understand who he is. Look then at this kind of wisdom, the two types, the earthly wisdom and the heavenly wisdom. Let's stop running after the earthly wisdom. Let's seek after the wisdom that's from above. And I wonder, as you're sitting there this morning, do you think, oh, I don't have that kind of wisdom? Or where are you with these things? How do you know whether you have the wisdom that's from God or not? Well, James tells us right here, he says, a harvest of righteousness, verse 18, is sown in peace by those who make peace. You see, if you have the wisdom that's from above, you give up looking for after yourself and seeking after your world and just maintaining what is going on in your own sphere, you stop being self-focused and selfish, and you start looking out for others. And that automatically makes you into someone who becomes a peacemaker in the world. And doesn't our world need peace? Oh boy. Those four poor folks in Damascus who are being bombed and shelled, and they need peace. 500 people killed this week just because of the bombs that are falling upon them. They desperately need peace, but you know, we need peace too. A different sort of peace, a peace of heart, a peace of mind, a peace that would walk through the world. And we, as we are touched by this heavenly wisdom, as we understand what it means to follow after Christ, to know the wisdom of God, we become like him in the world. And as we walk through the world, we become like Jesus, leaving peace behind us wherever we go, bringing peace into the lives of others. Just two more quotes from Billy Graham to help us out this morning. To be a peacemaker, you need to know the peace giver. How do you know that you have the wisdom that's from above? Well, first of all, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? I don't mean, do you know about him? I don't mean, do you know stuff that relates to him? I mean, do you know him? Is he your friend? Is he your savior? Is he your Lord? Are you prepared to own him for who he is and to relate to him on a daily basis, to share your heart with him and to long for seeing him face to face one day as you breathe your last breath here on earth and you take your next breath in his presence? To be a peacemaker, you need to know the peace giver. And James would want us to know that this morning. He'd want us to be those kind of people that know the peace giver in our lives in order that we can be effective for him in the world. My last quote Being a Christian, said Billy Graham, is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It's a daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Christ. So if you're struggling, if you think, man, I've known Jesus a long time, but I don't feel all that wise. I don't feel like my life's reflecting all those qualities of heavenly wisdom that he's speaking about. Just be kind to yourself for a moment. Just reflect for a moment that actually God is taking you on a journey with him. And all you need to do is take the next step. What is he asking you to do this week? Who do you perhaps need to mend a fence with? Who do you need perhaps to speak to? What is it in your life that needs to be put away? What is it that needs to be done that should have been done long ago? What is it that needs to be undone that should have been not done long ago? With him, there is forgiveness, love, mercy, the opportunity to begin again and again and again, each and every day. What James would have us do, what Jesus would have us do, is embrace the wisdom of God that he brings to us, to give up seeking our own wisdom, and to invite the wisdom of God to direct and guide our lives in every way. And to find, as you step into the world this week, taking time to be in the Word of God, taking time to pray and be in relationship to Jesus, to find as you go each and every step of the way that God uses you to bring peace wherever you are. Let's pray together. Father God, thank